End the day, the TOA, Monday night, Reb Shlomo Weisbart.
Story of Rabbi Y.Y. Rubenstein. He said a really interesting story. He said he was speaking in London once, and he finished his talk, and at the end of the talk, people asked him questions, slowly but surely people asked him questions, and it dwindled down to the people who were asking questions. Eventually there was one person who was left over, and he asked him a few questions about the Shia, and then just before he was going to go, he said to him, "You're from Manchester, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you know so-and-so?" He said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "How's he doing? How's his business?" Yeah. He said, "As far as I know, Baruch Hashem is doing good. Baruch Hashem. And how are his children?" He said, "Yeah, Baruch Hashem, as far as I know, they're doing well. They're learning with them, as far as I know," he said. "Oh, thanks very much for that. Gracious God, I really appreciate it." He starts walking away, and Rubenstein says, "It's funny, he's asked me a lot of questions," he says. "So you know what, I'm going to ask him a question." So he says, "Excuse me, sir, I hope you don't want me asking you a question, but do you know this guy at all? Why are you asking a question about him?" So there was a bit of a silence, and he said, "I'll tell you the truth, I know him very well, actually." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "He's actually my son." He says, "What do you mean, he's your son?" He said, "I'll tell you the truth, a number of years ago we had a big tiff together, a big machloikas, and since then he doesn't speak to me. So we're not on terms with each other. I'm happy to meet him, but he doesn't want anything to do with me. So for the last few years, I've nothing to do with him, absolutely nothing." He says, "Well, that can't carry on, that's not right." He said, "Let me see if I can sort something out." Kitty gets back to Manchester, Moishi, phones this guy up. He says, "Excuse me, I've just been to London. Do you know, I've got regards from someone. Do you know what I'm talking about?" And he says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, what's happened?" He said, "Yeah, look, we had an argument, this and that, etc., etc. No good." He said, "Look, this is no good," he said to him. "You have to do something about it." He said, "Tomorrow, I'm taking you down to London to go and see your father." Humming and hooing, he said, "Okay, we'll go tomorrow." So Rubenstein phones the father up in London and says, "Look, I'm bringing your son in inverted commas tomorrow. There's going to be a reunion." And he said, Rubenstein says, "I don't know what's going to happen. Absolutely no idea what's going to happen. Mummish, no idea. But look, something's got to be done." So he took him in a car, they went down to London together. He said, "The journey was quite nerve-wracking, he doesn't know what's going to happen." He says, it was in Hendon, I think he said it was, actually, he came there, and they were supposed to meet at 1 o'clock. So he said, he knocked on the door, got out of the car, obviously, and he walked with the son up the pathway, he knocked on the door, and he waited. And you could hear footsteps coming from the hallway to the door. He said, the door opened, and the father was left facing the son. So they looked at each other for a few seconds, and then the father went over to the son and gave himself a big hug. And Rubenstein said, "Then I went. I left them. I'm coming back in half an hour, I'll take you back home." He said, "The moment is that from Rubenstein." He said, "That love that a father's got for a child is how the Rebbeinu loves us. More. We have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much. He wants to embrace us. He wants us to come close. Yom Kippur is an opportunity to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Averis, whatever it is, it takes away people from mitzvahs. It takes away people from being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By a person doing tshuva, that is a way we get come back to being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the essence of Yom Kippur really is, there's a lot of things in Yom Kippur. One of the main mitzvahs of Yom Kippur is to do tshuva. Now, tshuva is not so easy.
What about the Gentiles? Doesn't he have to do tshuva
at that time? Good question, Moshe. I mean, the mice of Nineveh were non-Jews. They also have to do tshuva, actually. Quite right. Good question, Moshe. They also got a mitzvah. We're talking about ourselves. We've got a mitzvah doing tshuva. Now, there's two things. There's two mitzvahs that go on over here. We spoke about this a little bit last year. I don't spend too long on this now. But we spoke about this a little bit last year. There's the mitzvahs of Ben Adam Nechavere and Ben Adam Nemochim. The Ben Adam Nemochim is quite easy, really. A person decides that he wants to change a bit. As we said last year, a person doesn't have to change completely. He's got to make an effort to change. Now, for example, a person speaks Lashon Hara a lot of the time during the day. If he makes a resolution, he realizes it's wrong, so he says, "I'm going to learn something about this Issur of Lashon Hara, and I'm going to cut down a little bit in Lashon Hara. That means I'm not going to cut down all 12 hours a day of Lashon Hara. I can't stop that. But I'll try for an hour every day not to speak Lashon Hara." So Rabbi Saul Aslam says that's called tshuva, actually. It's a remarkable thing. That means a person's on the way to doing tshuva. Even though he's not, he's still speaking 11. I'm not telling you can do this, Rabbi. You say, "Yeah, you can speak for 11 hours Lashon Hara. Don't get me wrong. But as long as a person is trying sincerely to break his habits, then he's on the way to tshuva. That is ben olam hamakom. That's quite easy. Ben olam chaver generally is also quite easy, really. Generally speaking. Sorry?
It's not easy at all.
What? Ben olam chaver is much more complicated, really. Because, well, it depends what. I mean, generally speaking, Hashem, most people do get on with each other. But, and it's quite right, sometimes during the course of the year, you've had a quarrel on Isaac, yeah? It's
the general. Does the general have to stay?
So now the question is, what to do with a Benon Lachaber? So this is the famous thing from the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, I said to you last year, when he wrote his Sefer, he went to Rabbi Saul Stunter for Haskoma. And Rabbi Saul Stunter looked at the Sefer, and after, well, I don't know how long it took him, but after a while, he said to Rabbi Chofetz Chaim, that I'm happy with what you've written in the Sefer, but there's one thing I'm not happy with what you wrote. What's the one thing I'm not happy with what you wrote about? He said that when you said, you write in your Sefer, that if, let's say for example, someone spoke about an accountant, and he said that this accountant is a waste of time, don't go to him, he's a crook, he doesn't know what's going on, better to leave him. And the mice, you found out later, it's not true. So really, what you have to do, said the Chofetz Chaim, is you have to ask Hashem for forgiveness, obviously, for Lashon Hara, and you have to go to that accountant and say what you've done, and ask for mechila. So it was Saul Stunter, what right have you got to go to the accountant and upset him? You go to the accountant and say, I must say, I spread bad rumors about your useless accountant. They'll feel very bad. So what right have you got, Moshe, to go along to the accountant and tell him all this? So it was Saul Stunter said, on that, I can't give a haskama. I can't be muscular to what you've written. The story says that the Chofetz Chaim said, you're 100% right, but in Rabbeinu Yonah state of story that you're supposed to do it. Lemaisa, in the Poshkim today, the Poskim seem to say, Lemaisa, take on right before slanter. And they say that in the case of you're going to upset the person drastically, then you shouldn't ask him clearly what you've done. Just go up to him and ask him for mechila in general.
Yes, and if he knows, so the person knows that he's upset him, the rabbi, for argument's sake, hypothetically. Reuven knows that Shimon upsets. I mean, he went up to Shimon and embarrassed him in front of 20 people.
He knows that. Yes, that's all right. You might as well tell him. No, then you have to go. I must tell you, it's an interesting question. You're 100% right. Someone asked me this about a question. He's asking, it's a hard thing. What do you do, Lemaisa? Someone embarrassed you in public. 20 people were there. You got embarrassed. You were as red as a beetroot. Lemaisa, you felt bad. You're talking about the Spitz level. The Spitz level is to be like David HaMelech. David HaMelech is everything comes from a Kodesh Baruch. That guy did nothing what Hashem didn't want. It's very hard madrig, I'm not saying it's easy, but if you think about that, it's easier to forgive. And the thing is, look, we also do things wrong. If we ask HaKadosh Baruch to forgive us, if you can do that to such a person, then I call the Chorim HaKadosh Baruch to do that to you. So that's a way of looking at it. Now, the thing is, it's true. People have been swindled in business, for example. Someone's bought a property, for example, it is, and if someone did a swindle on him, he's lost a lot of money. It's not easy to tell the guy, just say, I forgive you. It's true. It's not an easy thing to do. But if we're looking to get schusim, and we realize that HaKadosh Baruch put everyone in this matzah for a certain reason, it's the guy is a shliach. It's very hard to realize that it's true. But that's what we want to do. On Yom Kippur, we want to get a kapora. And the best way of getting a kapora is if we can forgive other people. Obviously, when you forgive this person who swindled you, it doesn't mean you can't go to Bezin afterwards and get him out with any money, yeah? It just means the sin or the hatred that you had in such a case, that one should try and get rid of. The thing is, I always say this to people, you know, it's a funny thing how it works. Sometimes you have friends, for 30 years they've been the best friends. In one instance, the guy does something wrong and the whole thing is gone. Now, it makes no sense, really. It can't be one action that a person does can blow away 30 years. I mean, he might have been wrong, it's very possible. But the thing is, it's not a right way of looking at things.
Yeah, 20,000.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not saying you don't have to be miyayish on your money. No one told you to give up on your money. No one's saying that. But if you're talking about you've got a sinner for that person, that is the person that has to work with. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a tremendous chus. It's a murderous chus. A person can do that. A person can say that I've got no hard feelings on this person. He's done mummies. He's a tremendous madriga. And he won't lose out from today. Zichr won't lose out. That's number one that a person should try and do to try and get to Shuvah. Look, the thing is, on a Beinon Lemokim, like you say, it's a bit easier. But the thing is, one also has to be realistic. I'll always tell you this story. I had someone once eaten by me on Shabbos many years ago. He's never come back since, actually, I'll tell you that. But it's an interesting thing. So there was some egg on the table, and he had a pepper stuck into the egg. So he sat down on the table, Moishi, and he pulls the pepper out. He says, Shlomi, I hope you don't mind, but I don't like peppers. Now, it's an interesting thing. What he's done is Pashas Torah. He's done boira on Shabbos.
Well, why did you boira?
Because taking out the bath for good moisture is boira on Shabbos. Now, he didn't realize, it's a simple mistake, I understand, nothing wrong. But the thing is, we often, on Shabbos, do things that we find out later were wrong. A person will do shuk on that. That is what a person got to do. In the times of the base of Mikdash, that cost a person a korban. That the person has to bring a korban. You're wrong. It's not a free for all. If the person's done an avera, he's done something wrong.
So I should go to the Goyen Nathan.
In the times of the base of Mikdash, the person has to go along to the base of Mikdash, and bring a korban. Nowadays, that's a big shayla. Now, I always wonder about the shayla nowadays. Someone knows he did avera on Shabbos. Someone did a mice or boil on Shabbos, or some is on Shabbos. Does he have to actually write down on his pinkers that he owes a korban chatos? That's interesting. You never find anywhere in the Rambam anyone says such a thing. But when I was looking at the Shin Sefer actually many years ago, if you look at Tov Reish Beis, I think it is, the Shloah actually says that one should. The Shloah says that one should write down, if he's done an Avera, that he owes a korban chatos. I heard from Matizor, he said Lemaisa from other Achronim that one doesn't need that nowadays. An Avera B'Shoigig nowadays doesn't need a korban for Kapora. Since we haven't got a base of Mikdash, it's not such an Avera. But okay, so that's the thing. But anyway, it needs Shuba. So a person has to resolve. You can't learn the whole of Hilchos Shabbos in one go. But at least set aside a bit of time to try and start learning something like Shabbos. 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a week. Something a person does that's on the right track. Okay? That is number one. I was just hearing a story today from someone actually from the Bitochen line. I didn't hear the whole story. I'm finishing it off myself. It's an amazing way. I've heard this before. See, it must be an old story. There was a teacher in a class, and the girls in the class asked her for a particular favour, which was apparently difficult to do. So she said, you know what? She's very sorry she can't do it. She said, but you know what? I know who can help you, the President of America. So the girl said, what do you mean? He said, I'm sure he can help you. If you ask the President of America, I'm sure he can help you. He said, you know what? We're going to try and get an appointment with the President of America. So she managed to set a few days' time. Let's try and sort it out. Okay, so she manages the number of the White House. A few days later, she comes in the class, and she phones the phone number of the White House. And the secretary answers the phone and says, well, I wonder if you can help me. The woman says, this is a teacher saying in the middle of the class. The woman says to the secretary, I wonder if you can help me. We've got a bit of a problem, and we understand the President of America could help us. Could he come to our school and help us out? Talk to the girls and help us what we need to do. So I'm very sorry, but you know, the president's a busy man. He's not going to come to your school to give a talk to you. I'm very sorry. Oh, he said, yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's quite right. You know what? We'll come to him. Can we come to him? I would say, he says, I don't even understand the story. I think the president is very, very busy. You can't just walk into the president's office and have a moment. The teacher says, hey, I hear what you're saying. I wonder if we could make a phone call. Do you think he could speak to us on the phone? She says, I'm very sorry, I don't need to get to speak on the phone. She says, what about, I'll tell you what, I've got another idea. How about we send a letter to him and he can respond in a letter? She said, I don't know if you realise, but the president gets hundreds and hundreds of letters every day. I actually go through them and I pick out a few every day to give the president, but I can't guarantee what's going to get through. That was what I heard in the story. The moshel of the story is poshel, I say. Yom Kippur is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can approach him straight. He's more powerful than the president of America. Much more powerful, and we can approach him straight. We don't have to go through any intermediary. We can ask what we need. But we have to do something on Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur is where we have to do something on ourselves. We have to make a move on our own way to do something on Yom Kippur. So let's just talk about another few halachas of Hilchos Yom Kippur. Another interesting halacha is, Lamaisi, you know, there's an Indian say 100 brachas every day. It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Chayav Adam Levorach, Mea Brachas B'Chagim. On Yom Kippur is a bit tricky.
Should women do it.
Should
the women say 100
brachas? Oh, a good question. Should women do it? It's a big question, actually. Pashtus on the way they count them. It's a good question what she's asking. Have women got this scheme as well? Pashtus, the way the Achronim bring down this number, they count the tefillin and sitters and everything, it looks like from that women are not included in this thing. I'm not saying anyone agrees that way, but Lamai said, looks the way they count the numbers, that the 100 is not including ladies as well. So Lamai said, men should make 100 brachas a day. The thing is, on Yom Kippur, it's a bit tricky. We haven't got the Shemun S, we haven't got the 90 brachas every day. You're only short of a few. So what many people do is they smell b'somim. And b'somim you have to be careful with. It's a big question. If I smell b'somim, let's say everything else, Baruch HaTah HaShem, come in the chayin, bring it, b'somim, smell it, put it down, and then 10 minutes later I want to smell it again. Do I have to make a new bracha?
again?
No intention. But the question is there hesek hadas? You haven't been masir hadas in besomim. When a person eats a food and he goes out of the place where he is, that is determination of the bracha. It could be that in besomim it doesn't terminate by going out. So it has to be a proper hesek hadas. It has to be quite an amount of time that has passed before a person can make a bracha on besomim. Yeah, if you make a different bracha, that's quite right. If you make different besomim, isfei besomim, besomim. Yeah, if you make different brachas, that's right, different sorts, that's okay. But otherwise, you have to be a bit careful.
But answering only
somebody else's bracha,
is that one of your 100?
But yeah, but the Shulchan says, if you're stuck, you can use afteros or someone. You make a few, you make it a night. When you start, you make four or five.
And if you want to say that Shechionim?
Shechionim counts that much. Yes, they're brocha. They're making a brocha. They can say Shechionim. The woman makes a Shechionim that counts, but she doesn't need 100.
Never.
Say what? That's very much better. Different brochas is much better. You can make up different brochas. It's a different brocha to make. Yes, I mean, the chora, if you make brochas on clothes, and then you have some dill or whatever it is, you make a very isra on that, you can make straight afterwards. It's a different brocha. That's a different brocha. What? Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, you make me at the beginning, it could be that you're
really puffed. Yeah, but if you're totally tense, it could be, maybe possible. And I think you should shut. What?
What is the
timescale? There's no fixed timescale. It has to be a proper hesek hadas. It's very hard to give a timescale. There's no 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours. It doesn't say like that. It means a person, mum is finished, he's got no shackles at all. I don't see that. What?
You go out of the building, it's possible, basically.
No, I don't know if it works by Masolim. It works by food. Chazal say you terminate your brocha by food. I don't know if it works by Masolim.
It hasn't got to on brocha, but
that's by food. It's a special lack of my food. I don't know if it works by Masolim. I'm not so sure. I don't think it works by Masolim like that. I don't think so. Now, the interesting, I've also wondered about this many times. I'm also on Motzeh Yom Kippur. So, a person is so used to saying, Zochrin Lechaim, Sefer Chaim, Hamelech HaKodesh. What happens if someone says it's Shmoneh Esrei, let's say Hamelech HaKodesh? Now, someone told me it's a problem, but.
During the year.
Someone by mistake said Hamelech HaKodesh. He's so used to saying Hamelech HaKodesh that even after I say it's made sugar, he also says it. Oh, so my son, the apostle say, if you can rectify it, that means before you say Baruch Atah Hashem, then of course you should rectify it. It's not going to be read by Melech HaKodesh, but let's say Bazochein L'chaim, a person realizes before he said Baruch Atah Hashem, I'm wrong, he should go back and go past it without saying it. If he didn't, then it's not happening. The Maisa is still okay, no problem at all. Yeah. Thank you, Moshe.
I know
some of
them
are
not
afraid to say. Sorry? That's a good one. Baruch doesn't work. Because once you say Baruch Atah Hashem, you have to read that straight away. It's a Melech HaKodesh. I don't have to say L'chaim. The other one. Go back and just go over it without saying Zochrein, without saying L'chaim. That's what you should do. All these brachas, all these things that I said, it does not ma'ake, but a person, what do you call it, a person didn't do it. One other thing as well, one final thing, and that is also interesting Indian, and that is on Motzei Yom Kippur, it makes Havdalah. This Havdalah is different to the Havdalah right through the whole year. On Shabbos, we make Havdalah on a Ner to show that Ner was created on Motzei Shabbos. So you strike a match, you light a candle, and you can use that. On Yom Kippur, the idea of Ner is to show the contrast between Yom Tov and Yom Kippur to all other Yom Tovim. Now, all other Yom Tovim, you're allowed to use fire, and on Yom Kippur, you couldn't. Now, on Motzei Yom Kippur, you can. How do you show that contrast? The Chazal say you should have a light that's burning the whole of Yom Kippur, and then use that light for your Havdalah.
So, interesting,
a Ner that's been lit in Lekovoid could not be used for Havdalah. So, a Ner which has been lit, someone has got a parent, let's say, for example, so you light Lekovoid the parent, that should not be used for Ner Havdalah. What you can do in such a case is you can take a match from it, light another candle from it, and then put two things together. That you can do, but you should not use a Ner of a mace. You should not be using that kind of thing. I said many people got a minute to put a special Ner out, which is a good idea, especially for the purpose of Havdalah, and that is used on Motzei Shabbos. Okay, Rabbi Sayer, I can ask you to mention it. It's going simple, yes? Thank you very much.
Is the Shia tomorrow night?
No, no.